Well, it is summertime, and you know, Bubba and Matt, I would love for college football to start in July, but I know our next guest probably doesn't want things to start in the next few weeks, right?
Yeah, Dave, fall camp will certainly be here before you know it, and the Pirates will be heading up to the Big House to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Now very excited to be joined by certainly no stranger to Pirate Nation, longtime offensive coordinator and East Carolina assistant, Donnie Kirkpatrick. Coach, welcome back.
Thank you, guys. Good to hear from you.
Absolutely great to have you. I'm excited about this season. We wanted to have you on because, like I was talking about, I'm ready to go. How about you? I know your coaches are so competitive. What do you think?
You know, if you're asking me today here, it's June the 20th, and we've had about 17 days of camps where we've been out, you know, evaluating prospects that was right after a month and a half of spring recruiting, and we're looking at trying to put game plans together on the first four opponents, and we've had official visits in here the last two weekends, and we got 17 official visits in here this weekend. So wow. I'm really just concentrating right now and trying to get to Sunday. If I can get to Sunday, I'm just going to be happy, and you know what I'm saying? But I know when the July calendar starts getting to the short rows, that I will be excited about it because we're going to have an exciting team. We've got a lot of turnover on offense right now, which, you know, that's good. That means you had some success last year when you got guys that move on, especially six guys, you know, signed NFL contracts. But, you know, the problem with that is then you got to replace them. But we've got some really good guys that we brought in through recruiting and some guys I think that we've just been developing that are going to be fun to watch and see how quickly they can get to the level we want to get them to.
Absolutely, Coach. This is Matt. Just curious, the direction college football is heading, you know, in terms of the portal and the recruiting and the NIL, do you even get an off season anymore? I mean, realistically, do you get an off season?
You know, it's really not very much of one. When I got in this business many, many years ago, too many to mention, you know, I know some of the guys said, yeah, we all do this so we can get the summers off. You know, it's kind of like that. But those days are gone. But I will say that we do work hard. There is a dead week in recruiting that happens the 2 weeks around the 4th of July. So that does help a little bit in that you can't really be off campus or nobody can be on campus. Now, with the world of the phone and the social media and the text messages, you know, it's never, ever going to really, really stop. But at least you're not on the road traveling or having somebody here on the weekends or during the weeks right there. And then you are a little bit limited to what you can do with your players as far as the coaching staff. You know, our strength coach takes over a big role of it for about the first 3 weeks in July. So we're going to find a little bit of time to get away because I don't think you could do it if you don't get away a little bit. But it's not nearly what it used to be, and I'm not sure it's very healthy, really. And I don't know. We see some of these young coaches. I tell them, you know what, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to make it. I don't know if you're going to see old coaches or not here in the next 10 years if we don't cut this back just a little bit.
Coach, you talk about a lot of new names, both personnel-wise from a player standpoint, but also on the coaching side of things, on Coach Shank. You know, still around for sure, doing an excellent job in his high school and alumni relations role, but Alan Mogridge coming in as new offensive line coach. You also have Dyrell Roberts, who's certainly no stranger to Pirate fans for everything he did as a receiver at Virginia Tech, coaching the outside receivers. And so talk about your coaching staff changes and you know, how that went this spring.
Well, you know, again, it's just more of the change. I had joked at some of the places I spoke at that first offensive staff meeting in January, we had to give out name tags just so everybody know who each other were. You know, we'd had a nice little run going there where we had a lot of continuity, you know, within our system. And, you know, it just kind of all seemed to happen this year. And some of that was obviously started with Coach Shankweiler moving into the front office a little bit after, you know, 40-some years, whatever, career there. I guess he deserved it a little bit too. But and it wasn't a total surprise, you know, to all of us. So we were somewhat, you know, kind of being prepared for that. But obviously that's a big loss. It's a big change because me and Shank had been together for like 6 years straight, and then we were together back in the Skip Holtz era. So, you know, it was kind of one of those deals where you didn't sometimes have to finish the sentence. The other people, you know, the other guy could finish it for you. So we were on the same wavelength. So that's big, you know, and being the coordinator and coaching the quarterbacks, well, the offensive line guys is really, really big and really, really important to you. So, you know, just change in itself makes for more work. But Coach Mulgridge is obviously a great hire for us. Me and Alan Mulgridge worked together back in 2003, actually, with Western Carolina together. So I've known him for a long time. His wife grew up in the same kind of area that I grew up in. Her dad was a Hall of Fame wrestling coach in the same conference that I played in. So I've known of him, and that he's been in our league. He was at Central Florida. He was at South Florida, so he really knows the league. He knows the areas that we recruit, and he does something very similar to us offensively. So it's been a good marriage there, and that's worked out good. The issue with that was we got him hired in January, so we're back to rolling. And we hit spring break, which is 1 week then before we're going to go and start spring practice. And our running back coach and our inside receiver coach, tight end coach, all take jobs on the first day of spring practice. That's an adjustment that you got to make. All of a sudden you go to practice day one, you got two full-time coaches aren't going to be there. We were very lucky in that Aaron Auer, who was our analyst, was on the staff and was able to move into Coach Scott's role right away, and it was like we didn't miss a beat. So, okay, we dodged another bullet. You feel good. Like I say, now the running back coach is gone, so we moved Raekwon Boyette, who had only been here for 1 year himself, back to running backs, which is what he was most familiar with, I think, from a career at Duke playing and as coaching. But now we've got a receiver coach that we got to go hire. And literally we went on a search through the country to find the best guy we could find. And, you know, when it all shook out, Nyrell was the guy. And he's an unbelievable technician. He's an unbelievable recruiter. And he has a great bond with the young men, you know, that play college football. So we hit a home run, but it's just taken a lot more time. We've had to spend a lot more time just coaches talking about, you know, just teaching the system. You're usually just worried about teaching the players. You know, I've been having to teach the coaches what the system is, what the calls are, and all those type things. So it's been a really an exhausting spring. But again, it keeps you young, I think. It really brings up some new ideas when you get new people, and I think that makes you better in the long run.
Coaches, in addition that you did not reference, Shane Montgomery coming on as senior offensive analyst, a guy that has 30-plus years in the business, half of those as an offensive coordinator and also that head coaching stint at Miami of Ohio. Talk about what he'll bring.
Well, that is. So in the end there, since Aaron Auer became a full-time on-the-field coach and left the analyst role, we had another one to hire. And then Shane had become available after leaving Buffalo. So what a lot of people may not know is that me and Shane obviously have a history. We go way back. We were at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, together as assistants for 1 year. And then when I became the coordinator, he worked for me there as my receiver coach. And then I became the head coach, and he worked as a receiver coach for me too. And then he got a chance to go to Miami of Ohio and be the coordinator. So I was involved, obviously, in him getting that job, and then later he did become the head coach. So we go way back. We still have a lot of the same terminology. He's come back after all these years and say, "You're still calling it that, huh?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, I hadn't changed it, you know, whatever." But he's going to bring another great mind to the staff room for game planning, for preparations. He'll be another guy that will have some great experience as a receiver guy and a quarterback guy. And he's got some great just experience, you know, like I say, as being a head coach, which obviously always makes you better. So I think, you know, I say it's been an exhausting spring, but when it's all going to shake out, I think we may be better than we've ever been.
Coach, speaking of a quarterback in the quarterback room, let's talk. I know some people automatically thought, I guess, that Mason Garcia would be the next quarterback. But the good news is I told people that when you hear that term, which I don't like, the quarterback controversy, the great thing is you got two great quarterbacks that can start for you right now going into a huge task in September in Michigan, right?
Yeah, you know, you're always good as the next guy because you're always one play away from having to play the next guy. So I think any time you have depth and you have competition. We don't have any controversies here for who's going to play. We have competitions, but in a Mike Houston, you know, system, there's going to be no controversy about it. You know, he's going to make the decision about that, and then he's going to, you know, obviously involve maybe the position coach or the coordinator. So with the quarterbacks, it's going to be me and him, but we have a competition. But that's what the whole system here is built on. Everybody gets what they earn here, coaching-wise. Our managers, our trainers, everybody gets what they earn here, and our players, every position. So the quarterbacks are no different than the left guard, you know, or the defensive end or the receiver. You know, you have to earn the job. You know, Holton, obviously, you know, probably, you know, was going to be the guy, but he had to go compete. Now, he was that guy. You didn't have to worry about that. But if he would have been a guy that would have thought, well, I don't have to compete, I don't have to work anymore, I'm going to be the guy, he would have lost the job here too. So that's the same thing's going on now. Mason has had a good spring. He's having a good summer. I'm really, really excited about, you know, his career and where he's going to go. I think Alex pushing him is only going to make him better. And Alex has gotten better, I think, because he's seen the competition and he's been working. And, you know, he hasn't gotten to play much, but he's a competitor, you know, or he wouldn't have made it to this level, you know, to start with. So he's been around. He knows the system. You know, he's been involved in signaling the plays in. So he's known every play that we've run, you know, for the last couple of years. And I think, you know, the other thing with him is he's been really, really heavily into academics as far as he's planning to go to med school. So he's already graduated with a degree in exercise science with a 4.0 GPA. And now he's got a little less academic stress on him because he's already graduated. And you can't go to med school and play college football, so he's had to put that on hold. And so he's a little less busy, and he's been able to spend a little more time on football. And it's really starting to show up and some improvement in his play.
Coach, you know, Holt Naylor's had such a unique skill set, you know, a big lefty, you know, a bigger guy with mobility. When you look at the quarterbacks this year and, you know, they've been in the system for a while, but they haven't played a lot on Saturdays. Is it the type of thing early where you try to simplify the offense and maybe have them go just work their first and second read? Or is it, hey, you've been in the system, you know, we're ready to go, you know the offense, and you just let them go, let them swing it?
Well, they do know the offense, and they've been in all those meetings. And, you know, as we say, the quarterbacks have to watch the tape through the other quarterback like Holton. So, you know, we'd get in there on Sundays, and they had to watch it, and they had to comment on it, and they had to take notes on it. And it was like it was them out there as well, and they have to put themselves in that position as they're watching that tape, because if you don't prepare to be the starter, you'll never be the starter. Now, that's harder to do than it is just to say that, but they know the system. What we're probably doing is we're just probably trying to fit what they do best, you know, into what we're going to call. You know, as the starter, you're going to build it around the starter. You know, one big thing was Holton was left-handed, so the things were different just because he was left-handed. We built things, we set plays up. There are things you want to go to the quarterback's strength, and his strength obviously was going to his throwing hand, his left. So we would sometimes running plays to the right to get the ball on the right hash so that, you know, we could then maybe roll or bootleg, or he would have the ability to scramble to the wide side of the field and it be his strength. Those things are going to change a little bit. Now the system will call it the same, you know. Will we run less plays in a game plan? Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, especially with the schedule being so difficult early, you know, playing Michigan and stuff like that, you're not going to want to try to just trick them necessarily too much and make it so complicated that you beat yourself. So we will take that in consideration. You know, Holton was versatile. He was a dual threat guy. He got beat up, though, as the years went on, and we ran him less and less. And some of that was he wanted it that way. Some of that just was, I think, you know, he was beat up a little bit, and we were afraid to get him hurt a little bit. Mason obviously has great ability to run the ball, and right now he's healthy as he can be. So, you know, I think we will try to go back and run him a little bit more like Holton ran early in his career. Now, Alex is a little different than him in some things, you know. So we'll have to have a plan for if he's in there, you know, a little bit different than Mason being in there.
Coach, shifting to the running back room, you have Rajay Harris coming back off of
his ACL injury, Marlon Gunn, who had an excellent freshman season, Gerald Green coming in from Georgia Southern, and then we've certainly heard about Javius Bond and what he's capable of.
The running back room is in great shape right now as far as depth is concerned. Now, we've lost a dynamic player. You know, we lost, I would say, a generational player. You know, the only other thing ever been like him probably would be, you know, Chris Johnson. Now, you know, Junior would argue with me about that, my good friend Junior. I guess he was pretty good too. But, you know, you don't have a lot of Keaton Mitchells come along, guys that can make that many big plays. He's just such an explosive guy. But as we all remember, Rajee Harris was pretty good. In fact, Rajee was the co-offensive rookie of the year in the league, you know, his freshman year, and actually got off to the better start. And then would have had a good year as well last year if he wouldn't have got hurt early in the season against South Florida. So we are being a little careful with Rajee in that we don't want to, you know, go too much in June and July. But I am expecting him to be pretty tired at the end of every Saturday after the game. So I feel like, you know, though he's a different type back, he can be just as an effective back, if not more, than Keaton was. And we got really good depth, though. You're saying, you know, Davis Bond is a speed guy like Keaton. So I do think we still have that home run hitting kind of guy. And then Gerald Green brings some experience and some toughness in there because he's played a lot of football. So he's kind of a combination of the two. And then let's don't forget, like you say, Marlon Gunn, who got a chance to play as a true freshman. And, you know, and if he could have stayed a little more healthy, I think would have even showed a little bit more what he can do. So the room is full of talent. And then you can throw in there, you know, Pop McKay and Camaro Edmonds too. So there's a lot of competition, and it's making those guys have to really, really compete hard. But I feel good about the running back room.
No doubt, Coach. What about this? One of the question marks you hear all the time, and with things changing, we were talking about with the transfer portal, you guys have done a nice job, I think, with some missing pieces, if you will, for the wide receiver room.
Yeah, the receiver thing is always the quarterback's biggest concerns, I guess. And, you know, the thing that with Isaiah Winstead came in and had such a tremendous year for us. You know, unfortunately, we only were able to have him for 1 year. Ryan Jones, kind of a slash tight end, wide receiver, you know, had two pretty good years for us as well there. You know, and we lose him. And then CJ, who had the great freshman year and then really came back and had a really outstanding year, I thought, last year as well, decided to come out early. So, you know, there's a lot of productivity, a lot of catches that walked out the door there. But we have worked hard to try to have the next guy up. What we did this time in the portal, we tried to not do the one and done, though, like we had to do with Isaiah, in that we just felt like if we could get guys that were talented but had more years than the one, we're trying to get away from this just one and done. It's just too much too quickly to have to keep changing over. And so we picked up a couple of guys in the portal there. Chase Sewell, who's coming from Colorado, big, athletic, really, really runs well, big target. I'm excited about his progress right now. This summer, as he's shown us through the OTAs, what he can do. This other Keelan Robinson was off to a fantastic start, and I think he was the one that maybe impressed us the most of all. Unfortunately, he came down with mono, and so he's been out for a couple of weeks and is going to probably miss a lot of the summer training. But he showed enough talent that I feel sure that he'll be able to work himself back into it by the end of the spring too. So, and then, you know, this is not a new guy, but Jalen Johnson, who transferred in last year, really, really is showing that he's everything we thought he would be. Unfortunately, last year he just had a series of injuries from his foot to his hamstring to his back. And, you know, he had as much productivity per play probably as anybody we had. We just got to keep him out there a little bit more.
Coach, in terms of Jalen Johnson, he's sounds like he's transitioning from the inside, shifting out to more of an outside receiver. If that's the case, how's his progression going there this offseason?
It's actually the opposite of that. We played him more as an outside guy last year. Now we've moved him inside, which is what we did with CJ, and we kind of fell in love with the bigger inside receivers. You know, we had Tyler Snead, the smaller type guy, and normally the history of this offense, that's been the guys we played in, that are the more smaller type kids. And then we didn't have one of those guys as much. We went with CJ last year, and we really found that there were some ways to take advantage of his size. And so Jalen had played some inside, maybe more inside than outside at Georgia. So we plugged him in there, but he's going to be that move-around guy. We're going to try to keep him everywhere, let him be outside, let him be inside. He's the most mature probably of the guys. He probably knows the system now, probably better obviously than the other new guys. And he's doing really, really well right now. He's the healthiest I've ever known him to be. And so we're just in that summer deal where we're saying, you know, keep working hard, keep yourself healthy, though.
Coach, you have some familiar faces and names along the offensive line, like Parker Moore, Isaiah Foote, Jacob Sacra, et cetera. But talk about Hall, Beckman, Murphy, the new pieces that you added from the portal along the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, the O-line took a hit, obviously, with Coach Shankwire. I say we were able to overcome that with Coach Mulders, but the portal jumped on our back there pretty badly, too, there with the loss of Avery Jones, who had been our center, and I, you know, thought was having an outstanding year, and then hit the portal and took off and ended up going to Auburn. And then, you know, that was a blow before the bowl game, which gave Hampton Ergo a chance to kind of show what he could do. And he had a great game against a really good nose guard and actually earned a scholarship because he was a walk-on. And so, like I say, we get through the spring, we feel okay there again, and then, you know, we lose our starting left guard, Deshaun Strother, took off and well and ended up at Oregon. So we had to kind of get into the portal a little bit. And one thing was, though, that Coach Mulgridge had a player that he was able to bring with him. And that it actually, he went to Duke and then came to here through Duke. So that was a double transfer. That's how crazy this world is right now out there. And that's going to help us a lot because he knows Coach Mulgridge's system, his line calls and stuff like that. And learning our offense is not that big a challenge for him because it's similar. There's some differences, obviously, in the terminology, but at least he's familiar with how the offensive line, you know, coach is going to coach all that. So that's been a good deal. Jacob Sacra, you know, played as a true freshman some last year. He was able to redshirt because of the four-game rule. I really think he's in there battling right now. We're just trying to figure out, is he a center or is he a guard? Where does he best fit to get the most reps at right now? Parker Moore is back after rotating and playing tackle. You know, in hindsight, I wish we probably would have played Parker a little more last year inside, but we were so worried about Noah, you know, his back going out at any moment. You always had to have a guy kind of ready there, so we ended up probably just leaving him at tackle, and that's where he is playing now. And he's looking really good, I think, for the summer. And then, you know, Isaiah Foote, who played banged up all year, has been slow to kind of come back after having some shoulder surgery. So I think we'll get some experience back out of him as well. And then we did take two guys out of the portal, I guess, from Akron, you know, which seemed a little unusual. That's how today's world is. But it was two guys that had really, really played a lot of football, and that's kind of what we were most interested in, were some guys that had some experience just to give us, you know, maybe as a starter or maybe as a backup, but either way, some guys that had some experience.
Well, Coach, we could talk to you all day long when it comes to football. I know that you've got a meeting to get off to, so we'll let you go. Thanks so much, and I guess we'll see you at Media Day in August. I hope you have summer. Enjoy the I know you're gonna have to work hard the next few days, but we appreciate you taking the time with us.
Well, I always appreciate you guys, the Pirate fans. I know we're very fortunate to have the coverage that we have, and we do appreciate what you guys do. And I will look forward to seeing you when the season rolls back around, and hopefully I'm fresh and really well tanned and got my handicap down in golf at least about 5 or 6 more strokes. Okay.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
See you guys. All right.
Go Pirates.
Bye bye. Thanks, Coach.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!